Hey, it's Benjamin. Welcome to People Place Power, where we explore big questions around activism through the eyes of changemakers around the world. Today, we're excited to bring you our second activist chat. In this series, we'll have candid conversations with activists we admire about why they do what they do. This week, I sat down with Nixon Bomba, who is an activist organizing against metal mining in Haiti. Bomba, thank you so much for joining People Place Power.
It's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure for me.
So there isn't currently any metal mining in Haiti, but it's possible that this could change soon. I asked Bomba how mining companies have been able to start exploring for metals in Haiti. He told me that mining permits were often given to companies without any consultation from communities.
From 2006-2007, they changed the status of the mining permits. The propaganda was, we opened the country for business. Opened the country for business, one of the main pillars was mining exploitation in the country. Mm-hmm. Mining exploitation, even though the parliament, they heard on the media the numbers of mining permits were issued by the government without any consultation. It is at that time we started to organize a social movement across the country to resist against mining in the country. And we created this coalition. We called Mining Justice Collective. Mm-hmm. The Mining Justice Collective is like, you know, a space where we are fighting against metallic mining in the country, where we have human rights organization, peasant organization, women organization, youth organization, you know, to share this space and to create the strategy, the resisting strategy against mining in the country.
Right. And so why, like, when the government was, you know, doing these campaigns saying that they're open for business, why was mining sort of one of the primary facets of being open for business to the government?
We have resources on our our territory here, and they know that, and they are prospection and from 1917 to know, you know, the quality and also the amount of what they call worth in the Haitian territory. They know that. And they're trying to take this moment of shock and to impose very unpopular and very quite criminal economy to develop the country. This is what they claim at that time.
Right, right. Yeah, and Haiti shares a border with the Dominican Republic. And there they have the Pueblo Viejo mine, which is one of the biggest gold mines in the world. What are the, you know, like, you know, seeing how gold mining has impacted your neighbors in the Dominican Republic, like, what's the stakes of gold mining? Like, why should gold mining not come to Haiti?
Yes, one of the strategies we use a lot of lessons from other experiences, like Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. We visit often Dominican Republic to hear testimony from victims, from people affected people by mining.
Right.
And we visit Guatemalan communities. We visit El Salvador, communities and other countries in Latin America to use the lesson learned and to increase the capacity of the communities in Haiti to resist against mining. And one of lessons, everywhere we got a stop, people share with us, you know, we need to prevent. We need to act proactively to prevent that mining will happen in your communities, in your country, because when mining is installing, it will be like several decades of struggle to put them out of your communities. It is what we learned from Dominican Republic. We heard testimony where people get sick, where the system of production of people in the communities was strongly affected by mining exploitation. Mm-hmm. And also we heard the interference of the government to block the chain of communication to spread the information about the impact of mining and the lives of people. Mm-hmm. And we invite those people to come to Haiti, and they went to the communities and to speak to community to communities and to share their experience. It was very crucial for us in building this process of mining resistance in Haiti.
Right, and with talking with all of those, you know, it seems like the Haitian government's rhetoric has been that, you know, bringing mining to Haiti will bring money to Haiti and to Haitian people, right? And what have you heard from those communities that already have gold mining, you know, that says that maybe that's not the case?
We learned a lot from this community that helped us to demystify the propaganda from the government, from the international actors who promise, you know, paradise, who promise El Dorado to Haitian people because of mining. We learned the suffering of people. We learned the poverty of people living across the mining exploitation around this region. Mm-hmm. And we learn the impact of mining on the health, on the agricultural system, and the water and land, and also the division into the community where mining is exploring. This is what we learned from those countries. People came to Haiti to share that. We went to other places around the world to learn from their experiences. It was very important for us, very inspiring for the resistance movement here in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was so inspiring to you. What, you know, obviously, you know, fending off mining in Haiti is a lot of work, and the stakes are really high. What keeps you doing this work? What keeps you going every day?
What inspired me is this again, the commitment to have a space where we live with our dignity and justice and solidarity and love, you know, how we can understand one each other and move into this space, organize this space as our common good. There is no life, there is no happiness, there is no success in doing things like by yourself and only for yourself without any regards for people in your neighborhoods, people in your communities, people in your countries and your families. You know, it's like this commitment to move forward together collectively and to product collectively, to share collectively without any domination. You know, after the earthquake, we have like thousands of NGOs come to the country with their own agenda, with any consultation or with Haitian people. They use the international development money and to impose their vision to Haitian people. And they're promoting a vision of development who cope Haitian people outside of the life and the process. You know, it's like they're trying to impose the white supremacy and the Western history as a way that every single Haitian people we need to accept and to go without any connection with our history, with our culture, with our vision, and without what we need for our country.
Right. Well, and along with that, you know, with NGOs imposing white supremacy and sort of a disconnection from Haitian history, tourism is really inextricably linked to the Haitian government's push for mining and in opening up the country. Can you speak to, like, how are tourism and mining related, and how do they both push to erase Haitian culture and further white supremacy?
When I was talking about the propaganda of the government and international actors saying we will open the country for business, they got a couple of areas of priorities. First was mining, the second was tourism, you know, and to try to keep land and space from peasants, from other Haitian people, and to put that land available to foreign investor. It was the same logic, extractive logic. Or we make Haitian people product what they don't need and to import what they need. It was the same logic at the colonial time. And the colonial time is what we call the plantation economy.
Okay.
You serve as a, you know, labor, force of labor, without any connection with what you are doing. You don't have any control on the process of the production.
Yeah.
And the production that has any connection to your life, to your children, to your family, to your future. You just product as a machine.
Right.
And the control of that is was on the end of international actors and also the oligarchy are here.
You know, in this work with the Justice and Mining Collective, you know, you've worked with all these different countries, from Guatemala to the Dominican Republic to Ghana, and also you've been really involved with the NYU Global Justice Clinic. I'm wondering what solidarity between places like NYU and also similar countries impacted by mining, what does that look like for you?
You know, it's vital for us. Without that, we don't know. We weren't, and it should be very difficult for us to organize the resistance movement, because the generation before ourselves, they didn't know anything about mining, what mining looked like,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then at the same time, this propaganda, this mystification, mining will develop your country, will bring the happiness in your life. Without the experience from the NYU clinic, for example, was very useful and very powerful for us because of the work they're doing to make information accessible and available for people who need to have access to this information. And then in a way, very accessible in terms of put information in Creole, go into the deeply into the website of the companies and government and stakeholders, and to have information to put this information for us. It was vital and essential for us. And then it was part of our strategies to build alliances over the world and to, you know, to create this network of resistant people,
yeah.
and who can help one each other and support one each other and create in a worst moment.
And how do those alliances, how are those different from, you know, the flood of NGOs into Haiti after the earthquake? How is the alliance between something like the NYU Global Justice Clinic different from the relationship between lots of Western NGOs in Haiti?
There is a huge difference. You know, NYU and the people that I mentioned before, they are coming with mm-hmm. their commitment. We share the same commitment to defend, you know, the self-determination of not only Haitian people, they are part of a global struggle for justice. You know, and come, mm-hmm. we are at the same level to have discussion. They don't bring resources like money and project. They bring, you know, they bring the capacity, and we socialize this capacity together and trying to create the strategies. And it was the same
right.
for people from DRC to come to Haiti. It was very impactful for people, to have people from Africa to Haiti and to visit Haiti, to learn on Haiti, and also to bring their experiences. We can be diverse, different, but we support one another and complete what we are doing together.
Bomba, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure for me. Thank you so much.
If you want to support Bomba's vision for international solidarity, you can donate to a GoFundMe organized by two of Bomba's friends and colleagues. Funds raised will go to community leaders and community groups in Southwest Haiti, which was the epicenter of the most recent earthquake. If you're able to contribute, you can find the GoFundMe linked in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.